听力课堂,听class.com.
Hello, and welcome to recording 4 of the Princeton Review Word Smart 2 Vocabulary Building Program.
The first group of words we're going to cover is called old news. As you can hear, this group has two parts. We'll examine each half individually, then review the group as a whole and mix things up a bit.
Along with the groups of words and, of course, the definitions that accompany them, we'll also supply a series of speeches and stories to help further illuminate the meanings of the words and to help you memorize them.
Oh, my God.
What? What is it? You've got to tell me.
Japan has...
Yeah?
Bombed Pearl Harbor. There's going to be another world war.
Again?
What do you mean?
They bombed it again?
No.
But Liz...
What?
Liz, that happened in 1941.
It did?
Uh-huh. That's old news, Liz. We already had that war. That was World War II.
You're right.
Liz, we're not at war. We're definitely not at war with Japan, despite American paranoia.
Oh, that's good.
You really scared me.
Sorry, I was kind of scared myself. I thought, here it comes. This is going to be the end.
You did manage, though, to introduce our new section, Old News.
Clever title.
Yeah. Old, referring to things of the past, and news, which covers things that are new or reports about things that are happening.
In poetry, they call that an oxymoron. It's a condensed paradox, like Little Big Man, or Bittersweet, or White Chocolate, or Jumbo Shrimp.
I always remember oxymoron because things that are contradictory make you feel moronic. They don't make sense. How can something be old and new?
Let's keep it simple then and start with news. I don't want to confuse you.
You already got me pretty confused over your Pearl Harbor announcement.
Let's get back to that for a moment.
Okay.
When it happened, all of America knew that war couldn't be avoided any longer. It was such a horror and a disaster that it was a sign, a harbinger of what was to come.
A harbinger is an indication, a first sign. Pearl Harbor was a harbinger, an omen of a long and difficult war.
A harbinger can be good also. When Ashley drove to Vegas, she passed 12 red Ferraris on the way. She took it as a harbinger of good luck and couldn't wait to get to the roulette table.
Circling vultures are usually perceived as harbingers of death for any suffering animals below them.
Another word for omen is portent. A portent indicates something about to happen. As the Californians drove along the San Andreas Fault, the shakings and rumblings served as a portent of the earthquake to come.
Portent is generally used to describe a coming event that is momentous and dramatic, whereas harbinger can be used to describe something small and or something positive. The little pink blossoms were a harbinger of spring. The sound of thunderous stampeding was a portent of the nightmarish attack of the dinosaurs.
Portent is a noun. If you call the sound of that stampede portentous, you are using it as an adjective.
Right. When Orson Welles made the portentous announcement that aliens had invaded Earth, Americans panicked. Another word that means to foreshadow is presage. This word can be used as either a verb or a noun. As a noun, it means an omen.
When Darlene told Dan to start picking up his laundry and cooking his own dinner, it was a presage of the change in their relationship.
Presage is used more frequently as a verb. The flying silverware presaged yet another family battle. The director told the actors not to worry because a bad dress rehearsal presages a terrific opening night. Too bad the theater burnt down before they had a chance to find out if he was right.
I once considered being an actress.
Did you really?
Yep. But I had these ominous dreams all the time that made me think I better stay away from the theater.
Your dreams were bad and portended doom?
That is what ominous means.
Well, I know that. I just wanted to make sure everyone out there also knows. So you had these ominous, menacing, portentous dreams.
Yeah, they scared the daylights out of me.
Tell me your dreams, Liz. I will tell you what I think.
Well, Mr. Freud, it was always the same. I was performing in West Side Story, playing Maria. But every time I started singing, I feel pretty, a bucket of pig's blood was dumped all over me.
Well, that is an ominous dream, all right. In psychology, we call that a Carey complex. Does your mother like to burn candles?
No, but her name is Lori.
Aha! Just as I suspected.
Now, where were we?
Ominous, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Big Al, I suppose, had an ominous expression on his face as he walked into the social club. From the look on his face, the bartender knew that the gang was going to hit soon and hit hard.
Ominous is related to the word omen. An omen is a sign. Just remember the film The Omen. Everything that happens in The Omen is ominous.
Let's move on to fatalist. Are you a fatalist, Liz?
No way. I believe that I have the power to control my fate. A fatalist believes everything in the future is already determined, and nothing can be done to change the outcome.
That's a pretty gloomy outlook. What's the point of trying if you can't make things better?
Absolutely. Fatalists are very negative. My great-aunt Ruby Ann was a fatalist. She was so sure someone was going to rob her house and bash her head in with a sledgehammer that she didn't even try to be careful. She never locked her doors.
Well, what happened to her?
Someone robbed her house and bashed her head in with a sledgehammer.
Liz!
Sorry. Just a little gruesome humor to spice up the pot. The word fate doesn't necessarily imply a bad future, but when you are a fatalist, you believe in fate so strongly that you give up responsibility for your future completely.
Right. That kind of person is described as being fatalistic. She's sure that nothing she does can make a difference, either good or bad. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be.
There's yet another word meaning to serve as an omen. It's augur. To augur is to predict or foretell. When Lendl aced every serve in his first game, his fans were sure it augured victory for the tennis player.
When Marta Nepo started singing flat notes during the second aria of Traviata, it didn't augur well for the rest of the long evening of opera. I have a weird mnemonic device for augur. When I hear augur, and when I look at it, I find the word August. August is the last month of summer, a month that tells me autumn is coming. August is an augur for autumn.
I think that's a really clever mnemonic device. Do you mind if I borrow it?
Take it, darling. A little gift from me to you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Who is that man in tights carrying a trumpet and marching towards us? Is that a herald?
It looks like a herald.
Yes, yes, I'm quite sure it is a herald.
A herald, no doubt about it, and a strapping young herald he is.
Talk to him, Lizzie.
Herald, oh, herald!
Yes, ma'am.
What are you?
I'm a herald, ma'am.
Yes, yes, I know that, but what on earth is a herald?
A herald is one who proclaims important news or brings information of something to come.
Do you have any important news for me?
Sorry, no. No really big news.
Kind of a bargain basement herald, eh? Can't you at least show me how to use herald in a sentence?
A robin redbreast is a herald of spring. Its song brings tidings of a warmer season to come.
You've used herald as a noun.
I can use it as a verb, too. I do know how to herald. Good King Ling heralded his victory over evil King Snafu by parading through town with his harem throwing rose petals before him.
Excellent, Dick. Now, I'm going to do some heralding of my own. Here's the last word of the news section.
The word is forebode. Forebode means to be an omen of, to predict or foretell, usually something bad. I can understand why you don't want to face it alone.
Every time we use accents, I have a foreboding, a bad feeling that will never speak normally again.
Every time I see a little kid start clenching his fists and pursing his lips, I know it forebodes a temper tantrum.
Sometimes forebode means to predict or prophecy. Sorin, the sorcerer, forebode tragedy every time he stared into his crystal ball.
Forebode sounds as if it were the past tense of the verb forbid, meaning to prohibit, but the past tense of forbid is forbade. Mistress Morley forbade Johannes from speaking of his forebodings. She said, "Don't bring bad luck by expecting it."
That's it for the words having to do with news, the future, and omens. Let's have a quick recap or a nightcap. Ready?
Set.
Harbinger.
A precursor, an indication of what is to come.
Portent.
An omen, a sign of something coming in the future.
Presage.
To foreshadow or predict.
Ominous.
Threatening, portending doom.
Fatalist.
One who believes that future events are already determined and humans are powerless to change them.
Augur.
To serve as an omen or sign. Predict.
Herald.
A royal proclaimer, one who announces news.
Forebode.
To indicate the threatening likelihood of, to prophecy.
Terrific. You were marvelous.
Too marvelous for words?
No, just marvelous enough for those words. And now it's time to hear them in a speech.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Oh, boy, I got a bad feeling. I don't know, it's kind of like a knot in my stomach or something. Don't get me wrong, I'm crazy about Romeo, but when I danced with him at the ball, he kept tripping. It made me nervous, like it might be some harbinger of what's to come. He talked sweet enough, but I've got this sense of foreboding. It's like I know where the story's headed, and I don't want to go there. Tell me something. If a guy kisses you at a dance and then doesn't call right away, does this presage disaster for the relationship? I don't know about these things. I'm new at this game. Furthermore, the atmosphere at the dance was a little ominous, as if there was about to be a disaster. No one touched the punch. And listen, it gets worse, a lot worse. Our families don't get along. Just yesterday, the Montagues sent a herald to our house to announce, "The Capulets are gonna fry!" It's bigger than a problem with the way we mow our lawn. They want to kill us. This does not augur well for the future of our relationship. I don't mean to be a fatalist, but I'm not sure if marriage is in the cards. Then, Romeo said this thing that scared the daylights out of me. He said,
"Relax. If things get too messy, you can pretend to poison yourself and let them bury you. I'll come get you."
Now that's a portentous speech if ever I heard one. Coming from the guy who trips when he dances? Oh dear, I've got to get off this balcony. I'm getting dizzy.
Thank you, Juliet. Was that speech in iambic pentameter, Liz?
I don't think so.
Personally, I think it was from Shakespeare's rough draft.
Just goes to show a little revision can really help. Well, we've conquered the news half of old news. Let's backtrack and take a gander at the old half, words that describe the past or things from the past.
What about the words in the news section?
We're done with them. We're moving forward.
But I like those words.
Well, so did I, Dick, but we have to keep plowing ahead.
But I'm feeling...
What?
Nostalgic for those words. They were beautiful.
I agree, but don't let yourself be overcome by feelings of nostalgia, Dick. Don't get carried away by sentimental longing for the past. It's over.
But they were so wonderful. I felt at home there.
That's a symptom of nostalgia, or longing for things that aren't present. Nostalgia can be another word for homesickness.
When two old lovers meet, they often become nostalgic, remembering the pleasures they once shared.
And forgetting the fights.
Naturally. People who are nostalgic remember the good things.
Perennial means continual, happening time after time or each year. Gardeners love perennial flowers. They blossom again and again without being replanted.
Bob Bobson was a perennial candidate for mayor. Every year he ran with a platform advocating that apple bobbing and bobsledding should be mandatory activities in school. He was also a perennial loser.
Candy corn is a perennial favorite at Halloween. Does anyone really eat it?
If you put candy in the refrigerator, you can perpetuate its life. Perpetuate means to make last or keep from perishing. When individuals make racist jokes and comments, false stereotypes are perpetuated.
The next word is archives. Archives are where historical documents or materials are stored. This word should always be plural.
Professor Dewberry searched in the archives of the National Library of Paleography. He was searching for an ancient document on Egyptian trench digging techniques.
The word archives can also refer to the documents found in the storage space. The curator was very protective of the university's archives.
The individual who curates or cares for archives is called an archivist. The archivist got a headache just looking at the chaos in the archive. Documents covered the floor in no discernible order.
Many archives store archaic, or extremely old, documents. If something is described as archaic, it means that it is either ancient or outdated. Archaic civilizations disappeared many years ago.
The methods used by the president of information research firm were positively archaic. He insisted that all information be stored in gigantic filing cabinets. No computers were permitted. In linguistics, the archaic meaning is one which is no longer used. Many times a word will have one meaning. Later, that meaning changes and the first meaning seems archaic.
Shall I introduce the next word?
I won't let you.
Are you being modern or archaic?
Try to introduce the next word and you'll know.
The word is retrospect.
Right. Retrospect is a review, a looking back. While he was growing up, Charlie thought he had been a good brother, but in retrospect he realized that he had been cruel and unkind.
Retrospect can be broken into parts very simply. The prefix retro, meaning backward or back. Then the root spect, from the Latin spectare, to look at, as in spectacle. When you look at something in retrospect, it has to have happened already. You are always looking back at it.
A retrospective is a review of an artist's work. There was a wonderful Picasso retrospective at the museum. It covered all of his fascinating periods.
A young director doesn't usually get a retrospective of his films. He simply doesn't have enough to look back at.
Isn't it sad that many directors and other artists only get retrospectives posthumously or after they've died?
Phew! Two vocabulary words in a row. Go for three and you get the door prize.
All right. Here goes. Archivists who perennially create posthumous retrospectives perpetuate that nostalgic view that only archaic work of dead artists deserves to be shown.
Oh, my word.
I did it.
To our listeners out there, you might want to play that section one more time. If you understood that sentence, you're golden.
The last word should be something suitable for an ending.
How about epilogue?
Perfect, I think. What exactly is an epilogue?
Well, an epilogue can be a short poem or speech spoken directly to the audience at the end of a play. In many Shakespearean epilogues, Shakespeare cleverly asks the audience to clap for the play.
On the other hand, a prologue appears at the beginning of the play. It helps to draw the audience into the theatrical world. Many authors use epilogues to tell readers what the eventual fates of the main characters would be. 3 years later, Tom was dead, Jenny was pregnant, and Martha was a ski instructor.
I think it's that magic time again.
Yes, it is, Liz, and you're up. I'll give you the words we've introduced, which all fall into the section old in old news. They all have to do with that which is past or finished. Here we go. Nostalgia.
A sentimental longing for the past.
Perennial.
Continual, happening again and again.
Perpetuate.
To make last, to keep from perishing, to continue without interruption.
Archives.
A place where historical documents or materials are stored, or the documents in that place.
Archaic.
Extremely old, ancient, or outdated.
Retrospect.
Looking back, a review.
Posthumously.
Occurring after death, published after an author's death.
Epilogue.
An afterword in a book or a speech at the end of a play.
It's that special time again. Gather around the campfire and hear a speech where all the vocabulary words are used in context. Why not get out your marshmallows and snuggle in for a bit? Here to speak for us, summoned back from the nether regions, is the ghost of the poet Hauser.
Yes, I'm the ghost of Hauser. Chances are you don't know who the heck I am. You all know that other Greek poet, that blind fellow Homer. And I'll admit, a Hauser's not a Homer. He's got a huge fan club, perpetuating the idea that he's the big Greek cheese. Everybody and their mother knows Homer, but who knows Hauser? I know that Greek epic poems are somewhat archaic. You say you have the time to read only one, so you all read the Odyssey. Not one of you reads my epic poem, The Trip. Hunt through the museum archives sometime and see if you find a copy. My poem, The Trip, is a lot easier to read. No fancy schmancy words. Odyssey schmodyssey. Call a spade, it's a trip, for goodness sake. I'm the working man's epic poet. I'm not the nostalgic type, but I'll tell you something. There was a time, some folks used to shout, Hauser, Hauser, he's our man, writes it simply if he can. In retrospect, I guess, I should have used more advertising. Homer always had a spiffy poster with pretty colors announcing his poems. I guess that's why he was a perennial favorite with the ladies. I tried not to trouble myself over it. I thought, quality endures. I figured I'd be a posthumous hit. Someday folks would figure out who was really telling it like it was. Hauser, not Homer, that sing-songy phony baloney flash in the pan. But you're all still reading the Odyssey, and no one is looking at The Trip! So let this little speech stand as my epilogue. You read what you want, but next time you go to pick up the Odyssey, you look at how long it is. Then do yourself a favor. Go get The Trip!
Well, now that we've heard all the words in context, it's time to review both sets which comprise the section Old News. First you get the word, then you get the pause.
That pause is for you, the listener. Try to think of a definition or place the word in its appropriate section, either old or news.
So, word, pause, then monologue line containing that same word. And finally, a definition and example sentence.
Liz, It's time to begin. Go to it.
Harbinger. It made me nervous, like it might be some harbinger of what's to come.
A harbinger is a precursor, an indication of what is to come. When Tootie found the dead chipmunk, she saw it as a harbinger of the great rodent plague to come.
Archives.
Hunt through the museum archive sometime and see if you find a copy.
Archives are where historical materials or documents are stored. After examining the archives, the historian was pleased to find that the materials were being properly cared for. Perpetuate.
He's got a huge fan club, perpetuating the idea that he's the big Greek cheese.
To perpetuate is to make something last, to keep from perishing. In order to perpetuate the myth that she didn't age, Katie dyed her hair black.
Ominous.
Furthermore, the atmosphere at the dance was a little ominous, as if there was about to be a disaster. No one touched the punch.
Ominous is threatening or portending doom. The giant black clouds in the shape of devils and skulls seemed ominous in the summer sky. Augur.
They want to kill us. This does not augur well for the future of our relationship.
To augur is to serve as an omen or a sign, to foretell. The ballerina's clumsy pirouette did not augur well for the upcoming production of Giselle.
Nostalgia.
I'm not the nostalgic type, but I'll tell you something. There was a time some folks used to shout, "Houser, Houser, he's our man, writes it simply, if he can."
Nostalgia is a sentimental longing for the past. Drew got nostalgic when he saw his old seesaw and pitchfork. Ah, to be young again.
Forebode.
He talks sweet enough, but I've got this sense of foreboding. It's like I know where this story's headed and I don't want to go there.
To forebode is to be an omen of, predict, or foretell. The little girl forebode the downfall of the evil dictator soon after she began speaking in tongues.
Perennial.
Homer always had a spiffy poster with pretty colors announcing his poems. I guess that's why he was a perennial favorite with the ladies.
Something that is perennial happens again and again, continually. In March, we attended the perennial march for March, and we always wore yellow sneakers. Epilogue.
So let this little speech stand as my epilogue.
An epilogue is a speech at the end of a play or a written passage at the end of a book. In the epilogue, the author claimed that he had been under the possession of demonic cocktail waitresses while writing the novel.
Fatalist.
I don't mean to be a fatalist, but I'm not sure if marriage is in the cards.
A fatalist is one who believes that fate is determined and humans are unable to alter it. Treat refused to give money to charities because he was a true fatalist. He figured poor people were meant to be poor and there was nothing he could do about it. Portent.
He said, "Relax. If things get too messy, you can pretend to poison yourself and let them bury you. I'll come get you." Now that's a portentous speech.
A portent is an omen, a sign of something coming in the future. The lunatic stood on the bench making portents of the downfall of civilization and the rise of the cocktail roach.
Archaic.
I know that Greek epic poems are somewhat archaic.
To be archaic is to be ancient or outdated. When Professor Souvlaki found the archaic manuscript in ancient Mesopotamia, she quickly translated it into Greek. Posthumous.
I figured I'd be a posthumous hit. Someday folks would figure out who was really telling it like it was. Houser.
If something occurs posthumously, it occurs after death. After he was struck by lightning, the young author's writings were discovered under his mattress and published posthumously.
Herald.
Just yesterday, the Montagues sent a herald to our house to announce, "The Capulets are gonna fry."
A herald is a royal proclaimer, or someone or something that brings news. The herald of a new day in New York is the screeching and slamming of the sanitation truck below my window. Many newspapers take the title, "The Herald." Presage.
If a guy kisses you at a dance and then doesn't call right away, does this presage disaster for the relationship?
To presage is to serve as an omen or foretell. The meteorologist was unsuccessful at presaging the weather. Whenever she predicted sun, it never failed to rain.
Retrospect.
In retrospect, I guess I should have used more advertising. Homer always had a spiffy poster with pretty colors announcing his poems.
Retrospect means a looking back or a review. Although the party seemed like a good idea at the time, in retrospect, it was inappropriate. Well, that concludes old news. Now we'd better get going.